The gospel today tells us that the people in this parable neglected to go to the wedding feast. They went instead to other occupations that were more interesting or desirable in their minds. And this is how the world is, unfortunately. God has prepared a wedding feast in heaven that he has invited everyone to come to so they can be happy with him forever in heaven. And God wants everybody to be saved. But what happens? It says he sent his servants to call them that were invited to the marriage and they would not come. Some people don't want to do what it takes to get to heaven, and instead they spend their time in the path of sin on the way to hell. Other people are completely careless about heaven, and they spend their time pursuing the things of this world. It says they went their ways, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. They would rather have the things of this world than eternal salvation. People like this probably do want to get to heaven eventually, in theory, but they don't want to make any effort to achieve that because they waste the precious time given to them by God for the sole purpose of serving him and gaining heaven. These people spend their time instead in idleness or in useless occupations or in pursuing the things of this world without making any effort for the salvation of their souls. And they hardly think about their last end. But people like this will think very differently about all of this when they come to the end of their lives. And at that point, they will have terrible remorse and fear and despair. One of the best times of the year is the harvest season that we are in now, and there are so many farmers around here that are reaping the fruits of their labor. And farmers that have done well and managed their farms are going to have a good harvest, whereas those who are negligent will get very little, if anything. But St. Jerome says the present time is the time for sowing seeds. It is the time that God has given us to work out our salvation. And the seed for us is like time. Time here is the seed of eternity. That is what St. Bernard says. What we plant in time will grow forever in eternity for us, for good or for bad. But if we spend our time here earning heaven, we will have a great reward waiting for us. St. Paul says, that which is at present, momentary, and light of our tribulation, worketh for us above measure exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. With even one moment spent well here on earth, we can earn a reward that will last forever. If we just have a pious thought, or an act of love of God in our minds, or an edifying word that we say to somebody else, or some act of mortification or resistance of temptation or offering up some trial for God. Each of these things can be a little seed that we can sow that will give us an eternal reward in heaven that we will enjoy forever. What great happiness there is for someone who is in the state of grace, which is a requirement for earning merit in heaven, and who works hard for the good of his soul and for the glory of God. If the blessed in heaven could be disturbed by any sort of regret, the only thing they would regret would be that they had lost even a single moment while they were here on earth by not devoting it to the service of God. And if that were possible, everybody in heaven would be unhappy because everyone there would want just a little bit more time on earth to obtain even a little bit more merit that they could have forever. But of course, the blessed in heaven are perfectly happy and perfectly resigned to God's will, and they have no envy of anyone else in heaven. But if they were capable of envy, they would actually envy us here in the world. And they would want to trade places with us here on earth if they could, so they could use the time that we have now to increase their merit and glory in heaven. They must be completely aghast when they see how we waste our time in this world, when we could be earning such a tremendous reward in heaven. Or think about the lost in hell. And we can see the great harm that happens to people who waste their time in this world. Let us ask the souls in hell to come out and tell us the harm that they have suffered from wasting their time and spending it in sin. They will tell us that the time they had on earth was as valuable as God Himself, whom they were supposed to be earning by spending their time in the practice of virtue. And they would lament to us about their terrible misery and the torment that they have now because they didn't spend the time they had in earning their salvation. They would say to us with the most bitter sorrow that if they could get back one afternoon that they spent in idleness or in watching television or hanging out with bad friends, that they would spend that time again making an act of contrition and going to confession and getting their lives back on track. Or if they could get back one Sunday morning that they spent in not going to Mass the way they were supposed to, they would spend that one morning coming to the confessional as fast as they could to obtain sanctifying grace, and they would get to church as early as possible on that one morning that they had to ensure they could get to confession before Mass so they could receive Holy Communion during Mass and obtain the graces they would need to persevere in their resolve in their confession. But now their Sunday mornings are all gone. All those days that they wasted are even increasing their torment in hell. Or they would tell us that if they could have back one evening that they spent in committing sins of impurity or in wicked entertainment, they would tell us that they would spend that time instead praying the rosary, asking God to forgive them their sins and give them the grace to repent. All of that is too late for them now, though. They will not receive even 1 hour or even a quarter of an hour to repair their situation. Their remorse can't be fixed. And they are filled with misery and despair for all eternity. This is how we have to understand the mental anguish and pain that everyone will have who has spent his life in useless amusements and idleness, which often leads to sin, doing just the bare minimum for his soul, and often not even that. When someone like this gets to his deathbed and he looks back on the years and the decades that he has wasted of his life, just think of the misery that someone like this is going to have. He will think to himself, I have lived for 60, 70, 80 years on earth or more, and every year had 12 months, and every month had 4 weeks, usually a little more than that. And in every week, they'll say, I had 7 days in which I had an enormous amount of time each in which to serve God and pray and practice virtue and do good works and do the duties of my state of life as well as I could, the way God wanted me to do them. But that person will be on his deathbed and he will see that all this time that he had is now over and gone. He could have spent any one of those innumerable moments of his life gaining glory for heaven, but instead he spent them committing sin. He will wish that he had received the sacraments more frequently, which would have forgiven him his sins and given him the ability to earn supernatural merit if he had done his duties for the love of God, as well as giving him extra grace to avoid committing even more sin. But he was too lazy to do that, and maybe he missed Sunday Mass on the slightest pretext, or even no pretext at all. And he could have performed works of piety and charity, but those opportunities are all gone. He will see what a great treasure of merit and joy he should have had by now if he had spent even a fraction of the time that he had in his life trying to serve God well. And God would have given him a great reward for doing this. But he will see that now that is all gone. He must go into the house of his eternity alone and completely poor, like a beggar. He will see his friends and other people going into heaven with great merit and joy. People who lived a devout life in his that he knew were a good example to him, but he despised their example and he refused to imitate it. And he will have to look back at their joy with tears and empty hands of his own. And at that point, there will be nothing that he can do to remedy this problem. The time that God gives us in life is like a rich property that we have to use to earn merit for heaven. And if we spend that time on things that are worthless for our salvation, then what will we have at the end? When someone dies and he leaves his fortune to his heirs, the heirs only receive what is left after all of the person's debts have been paid. They get the leftovers after all of the other people in the will also have received what was left to them as well. And the more creditors a person has, the less money his heirs are going to receive. So for us, when we are on our deathbed, the creditors that will steal our inheritance in heaven will be the time that we have spent in idleness and in amusement and in wasting time with others, or watching the internet, watching the news, reading stories on the news that are a complete waste of time and often an occasion of sin. Or worse still, the time that we spend committing sin. All these things have taken away from the time that we had and what will be left for us to have for eternity. For some people, there will be almost nothing left that they can show for God that they spent in the service of God. And there we will be at the judgment seat of God at the end, our just judge, and he will say to us, "Give an account of thy stewardship." He will want to know how we have used the time that he gave us in life. Saint Anselm says, "What answer will you make on that day when you will be required to give an account of the time that was given to you during life and how you spent it?" God will not even need any witnesses to testify against us at our trial, because we ourselves are going to know what little time we gave to God and how much of it we wasted. And just imagine the great desire that we will have to bring back even one moment of the time that we had on earth. But it will be all gone, and at that point, it will be too late. The secretary of King Francis I of France was on his deathbed, and he had lived a wicked life. And he said, "Unhappy me, I have spent so many years and used up so many reams of paper in the service of my king. Would that I had spent even one day and used just one sheet of paper to write down my sins, so that I could have made a good confession and saved my soul. If only I had 1 hour of the many that I have wasted, so that I could go to confession. But now I know that my time is up and I must go into eternity, where I have nothing ahead of me but torment and despair." This is how someone will leave this world, who spent his time in idleness and in things that don't contribute to his salvation. And here we can include everything that such a person did in the state of mortal sin, even the good things that he did in that state, because we don't get any merit for anything that we do in mortal sin. There was a priest once who saw a vision of a huge swarm of devils coming to the bedside of a dying sinner to carry his soul to hell. And the person cried out, "Have mercy on me." And one of the devils said, "It is now too late to ask for mercy." And the man died at that same moment, and his soul was lost. And there was another holy monk who was meditating on eternity one day, and he heard a voice calling out in great misery. And he said, "Who is that, and what is the matter?" And the voice said, "I am a soul that has just died, and I have been condemned by God, and I have been sent here by God to warn you and everyone else about the great value of the short time that you have in this life. He said, "You must know that all the torments that a man can endure in his last moments are absolutely terrible. But there is nothing as bad as the thought of the time that the person has wasted during his life, and that will be the source of his misery for all eternity. And when he said this, the soul disappeared. But we are not dying, not yet, and we still have time. And so this lesson is meant for us so that we can change our condition now. We have to fix our soul and fix our use of time now so that when we are on our deathbeds, we will not have to look forward to a long eternity of torment and despair. Let us not waste our time in idle amusements or in staring at the internet or at YouTube or TV or movies or anything like this. And most of that stuff normally will lead us into sin, at least venial sin. Let us put our duties of religion first. Let us say our prayers every day and go to Mass every Sunday as God commands. In fact, let us do even more than that and attend an additional Mass on our day off that we have in the week, on Saturday morning or whatever day off it is that we have. Let us say the rosary every day with our families, and parents must ensure that they spend their time teaching their children their faith, their catechism, and their prayers. So many parents claim that they don't have time to bring their children to catechism class that we have here on Sunday. And what will they have to say to God at their judgment? God will say, what did you have to do that was more important than having your children instructed in the faith so they could save their souls? And so many families have no time for the daily rosary, but they have lots of time for sports and video games and entertainment and amusements of every kind. And the children are raised to think that these things are more important than their prayer and catechism and spiritual reading and their souls in general. And children who are raised like that probably will be lost forever if that's what they're taught. This life is very short, and God has appointed a certain amount of time for each of us in this world, and none of us knows how long it's going to be. And we all think that we will all live to be 80-something years old, and then by the time we get to be that old, we say, well, the medical science will be so good by that point that then we'll probably get another 20 years, maybe we'll die in our hundreds, or something like this. And we all think we have lots and lots of time. But this is all a deception of the devil. We could be dead tomorrow for all we know. None of us knows when our time will be up. So we have to use every single minute that we have for good. We have to live our lives in sanctifying grace, attend Mass as often as possible, and not only when we are strictly obliged. And we absolutely must attend every Sunday Mass and every holy day of obligation. That is what the Church obliges us to do. We have to stay in sanctifying grace, receive the sacraments as often as necessary in order to ensure that. We have to say our rosary every day with our families and practice the works of charity and mercy. We have to do spiritual reading every day as well with the time that we have. And parents must teach their children to do spiritual reading and read to them out of spiritual books to form them in the love of virtue and the love of God. Children are very innocent and pure, and they really learn when their parents just read to them out of the lives of the saints, or the books on virtue, or even just read from the Bible, from the Gospels, from almost anywhere in Scripture. This makes a profound impression on children that they keep for their entire lives. Parents should spend some time doing this every single day. Just imagine if an angel came and told us when we were going to die, and he told us exactly how much time we have left in our lives. How would we spend that amount of time that he gave us? We would spend it in fervor and prayer and avoiding occasions of sin and receiving the sacraments as much as we possibly could and performing the duties of our state of life as perfectly as possible. Well, we all know that we are going to die, and we don't know when it is going to be. So why don't we do the same thing for the same reason? Let us offer every moment of our lives that we have left to God. Let us make up for the time that we have wasted and lost in the past. And let us spend every day working out our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.